football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
D-Mac, Chad Brown. Beautiful day. Got my guy on Twitter here. Come on now, man. Come on, Twitter. Kenny Powers. I doubt that's his real name. I love it, though. Hey, D-Mac, after all the years of thinking he made a mistake, has Derek Wolfe made more money than Malik Jackson? Chad, you looked into it, and what do you got?
For Malik Jackson, coming in at $48 million for Derek Wolfe, $40 million. So $8 million difference.
Today.
As of today. Career earnings as of today. So Malik went and signed the big money deal, we thought, in Jacksonville, and he was going to break the bank and all that, and Derek Wolfe took this ridiculous hometown discount.
However, we know the Broncos have picked up the first part of Wolfe and likely will stay with them, so he'll get how much this year? $8 million?
$8 million.
So technically.
So after this, hold on. So after this season, Derek Wolfe will be at $49.2 million in career earnings.
And Malik right now, because he doesn't have a job, is at 48.
48.3.
So what is Malik Jackson's next deal, do you guys think? What do you think we're talking about? $4 or $5 million a year, something like that?
I think he would probably command more than that.
Think so?
Yeah.
How much? Ish. Just take a guess.
Ball 7 or 8.
7 or 8.
Yeah.
Is a fascinating sort of deep dive into how to make as much money as possible in the NFL. Because Wolf gave it the old hometown discount, as did Chris Harris. Malik let it roll and went to free agency, where essentially you're probably going to outprice yourself near the end of, say, a 4 or 5 year contract. You're probably not going to get those final year or 2 years, right?
Right.
Boy, they may come out, you know, it may be pretty close.
It probably will be pretty close in the end. Yes.
So it probably does show you, if you do want to just stay with one team, it's kind of like the you know, slow and steady wins the race. You know, the rabbit and the hare sort of, you know, sort of comparison.
Otherwise, you're going to be team hopping. Totally.
So it's like, if you give it a little discount and you stick for it longer, in the end of the day, you're probably going to do just as well. Now, Malik, though, it was a little different because he was a fifth-round guy. Maybe he doesn't get that kind of offer unless he does what he doesn't even get close unless he does what he does, right? Like, you know, if he just stuck around here, was he ever going to even be close to what Wolf was making?
Right. So the Broncos signed up Wolf, and then if they're going to look at Malik, they're going to think, well, he's a fifth-round pick. We can't pay him more than we paid Derek.
So I suppose you could make the argument if Wolf thought he was better than Malik, he could have commanded more dollars. But he probably would be stuck in the same exact situation Malik Jackson is right now.
If he had leaped and went to some other team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would have loved to have stayed with the Steelers. But they didn't want to pay me more than they paid Greg Lloyd.
Right.
Seahawks were clearly willing to exceed that offer, you know.
And it wasn't a little more. It was a lot more, right?
The signing bonus I got from the Seahawks was more than the offer I got from the Steelers.
And you can't turn that down because it's much more money right away.
Yes. Guaranteed in your pocket.
The more compelling argument, if it's not that much more money, would you be better off staying in a more stable situation?
Well, I think it depends. Well, then at that point, you have to look at the team. Where's that team going?
Because, yeah. Are you happy? Do you like where you are?
Right. And is that team successful? Because if they're not, a new coach comes in, and you're making big money,
then
you're immediately thought of on the chopping block.
It's interesting.
Now, if Jacksonville had been successful this last season, would Malik probably still be there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So he wasn't cut because he sucked.
Mm-hmm.
He cut because they got to do some things to build their team up. They didn't play very well this last season.
And by the way, Derek Wolfe's had his injury issues, no doubt about it. Probably a little roll of the dice if the Broncos were even going to bring him back.
All right, now the text line, very smartly, Ramos Law text line, pointing out that no state income tax in Florida.
Okay.
That makes a difference when you're making the kind of money these guys are making.
So you know what? As we break it down, you know what? Each guy probably did the right thing for them.
I would agree with that. Malik was not going to get an offer that exceeded what Derek got because of the draft status.
Yeah.
he had to go someplace else and get the money. For Derek Wolfe, this was the best place for him. The team that drafted him, the team that wanted him initially. And again, he's not falling too far behind. And depending on how things play out over the next couple of years, could exceed or at least equal what Malik has gotten.
So I would say bring Malik back. Let's get him here. Try to rekindle the magic that you did have in 2015 for Super Bowl 50. Just the sort of natural tension and energy between Malik and Derek was pretty special. They were friendly, but I wouldn't call them friends. There was a great sense of competition there. There was a vibe on the field there that made sense. To me, Malik Jackson may be your equivalent of DeMarcus Ware, meaning there may be some, Chad, some intangibles there that are very unique to his situation with the Broncos that he might not get other places. So I'm a big fan of getting Malik back here. Big fan.
As far as positional spending, as of today on the defensive line, the Broncos are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They're 10th in the league as far as money allocated to the defensive line room. They're going to spend $20.3 million on their defensive line. The Arizona Cardinals are actually number one with $30.1 million. I'm sorry. This is not ranking them in order. There we go. Let's do that again. Broncos, much further down the list when you actually filtered right, Chad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. They are 19th in spending on the defensive line.
So this looks like a place they could improve, could have an emotional lift. A guy I think is awesome. Love to have Malik Jackson back here. Okay, interesting.
Yeah, Derek Wolfe's cap dollars are 10.9. Bradley Chubb, I guess they're counting him as a defensive end for this thing, is at 6.1. DeMarcus Walker, 1.3.
Yeah, that's a waste of time.
Gotts is 1.2. And Chadeus Lyons, 570,000.
There were some weird things at the end of the year that nobody was really paying attention to.
Okay.
Here's how the Broncos feel about Josh Rosen. He wasn't even close to being on their radar. It has come to their attention, and it's mildly interesting. So it's not 0%, but it's far, Chad, from being like something that they're zeroed in on. Okay? But it's not dead. It does feel a little bit like Dumb and Dumber, so you're saying there's a chance.
Do you think... Did you see Nikki's tweet yesterday with the list of quarterbacks, head coaches, and offensive coordinators?
Yes, I jokingly tweeted back to her, "You must hate Elway."
Oh, I did see that last
but
night.
But yes.
Yes. So, I think they follow, they listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
They follow these people on Twitter.
There's no doubt about it.
Given the list that comes across his desk, I'll let his whatever name you want to place over there at the Broncos facility. When a list like this comes across his desk, and then you say something like, "Well, they weren't high on Josh Rosen last year." Do they go, "Should I reevaluate Josh Rosen? I've been wrong about Mark Sanchez, Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, Kyle Sloter, Austin Davis, Chad Kelly, Brock Osweiler, Case Keenum, Kevin Hogan, Garrett Grayson, and possibly Joe Flacco. So should I rethink what I thought last year?"
Maybe.
I mean, that's what I would do. Given a list like that, that's what I would do. And I'm not trying to dig at anybody. I'm just saying this is what I would do. Given that kind of unfortunate list of non-success, I would be forced to go, "I can't rely upon what I thought last year. I got to reevaluate."
When we come back, the most miserable person in sports. There is a candidate. Details coming.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I feel like spring is in the air. Come on now. Are we on a patio? Are we on a patio, Colorado? It is Friday. Are we on a patio? Is it patio weather? Oh. Hello. All right, we'll get to what is, you know, it continues to be an exciting day in free agency trades, all sorts of stuff. We'll get you up to date to everything that's going on. But I still think, in light of the Antonio Brown situation.
Yeah, man.
In light of Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
In the concept of this death by inches, D-Mac with Chad Brown, I want to play Charles Barkley's comments about Kyrie Irving in terms of who's going to be on your team and who's not going to be on your team. Here's Charles Barkley.
I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
Let me back up. The first is Adam Silver, right? Adam Silver talking about stuff and... All right, here we go.
I think part of it is a direct product of social media.
Yes.
I think those players we're talking about, when I meet with them, what strikes me is that they are truly unhappy.
They are truly unhappy. NBA players, truly unhappy. Charles Barkley, you're a Hall of Famer. What's your reaction?
I think that's probably the stupidest thing I've ever heard Adam say. And listen, he's a great guy, but that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of any commissioner say. Listen, Greeny, these guys are making $20, $30, $40 million a year. They work 6-7 months a year. We stay at the best hotels in the world. They ain't got no problems. That's total bogus. And let me tell you something else. Kyrie Irving, I don't know him that well. He seems like a good kid. But I've never seen a person so miserable to have so much success, to have the world in the palm of his hand. He's going to make $40, $50 million a year for the next 10, 15 years. He's already won a world championship. He's in movies. But he's got to be one of the most miserable people I've ever seen.
It's true.
Aren't the Celtics 10-2 without Kyrie Irving in their last 12?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they just wipe out the Warriors?
Destroyed them. Beat them down.
On their home court?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where do you balance your attitude versus your ability to the success of a team? When does it matter and when doesn't it matter, Chad?
Rephrase that for me one more time.
Your ability, who you are as a player,
uh-huh.
your skill level, compared to the attitude that you bring day in, day out. If Kyrie Irving to Charles Barkley looks miserable day after day after day, and that's who he is, how does that affect the entire team?
It's huge. If your best player has a unhappy attitude when he shows up to work, there's no joy, there's no passion to what he brings, that affects the team, that affects the locker room. That is huge. And whether you believe that or not, you just think, oh, I can just play and that should be enough, then you're naive if that's what you think. Teams need leaders. Teams need passion. Teams need energy. Teams need positiveness. Teams need joy. If you're going to go out and work hard as you need to work to win a championship, championships are not easy in any sport at any time. It takes an incredible amount of work to make that happen. If you don't bring some joy and some fun to that, you're not going to be where you want to be. The greatness of the Lakers, certainly they had some all-time players, but how could you watch Magic Johnson not think he absolutely is loving what he's doing? He's working hard and loving it. That is infectious. That rubs off on everybody within the organization. It matters. The intensity of a guy like Tom Brady, who may not have the smile and joy all the time, but clearly relishes in the hard work and clearly appreciates the opportunity that he has, even at 40-plus years old, that sets the tone for the rest of that organization over there. Your attitude matters, probably equally to your play.
Really?
Yes. From a leadership perspective. If you're the eighth guy off the bench and you're unhappy, well, we just need you to get 6 rebounds a night. That's what we need you to do and post up this big
doesn't
man.
Doesn't really matter that
right.
much.
But you're the leader. Yes, then the attitude that you bring affects everyone else.
So when you're Aqib Talib and Kubiak's gone and you don't like Vance Joseph and you're ripping things left and right, you got to go.
You have to go.
It doesn't matter how good you are.
No. And particularly on a team that wasn't really particularly going anyplace.
You know, Aqib did pull a little bit of Antonio Brown. Like, he did ask the Broncos to trade him specifically to a couple of teams.
The Rams and the Patriots. He did not want to go to San Francisco. San Francisco was desperate for a corner. They got Richard Sherman in free agency. Had to pay a heavy price, 3 years, $49 million.
The Broncos kind of did him a favor.
Yeah. Yeah, because they wanted to get rid of him. Just as the Steelers are trying to get rid of Antonio Brown. They don't want that back in their locker room. John Elway didn't want that back in his locker room.
So, it could work the opposite then too, right? For example, if you've got a guy whose skill level isn't, you know, what it used to be, but he brings, like, all this other positive energy, then that's a guy maybe you're willing to sacrifice a little talent for. Yes or no?
Hello? How do you think I played the last 3 or 4 years of my career?
Was that it?
You're describing me.
Is that what got you 3 more years of your career?
You sit in the front row of the meetings. You take great notes. You do every weight workout. When the coach asks you a question in the meeting, you have the answer. You spend time with the young guys. You play your mentor role.
It gave you 3 more years in the league where you wouldn't normally have had.
If it was just purely based on my talent level, after year 12, I took a significant step back talent from year 12 to year 13. Significant. And then 13 to 14 and 14 into 15 for sure. So attitude, so when I'm telling you about the attitude matters, it's not just some hypothetical I came up with because I read it in a book. That's me. I got 3 more years in the NFL by having a good attitude.
Let's get some of those guys. I mean, that's part of the puzzle. It's not, you still got to have talent.
You can't win a whole lot of games with a bunch of old dudes, but you need good attitudes.
Yes. Right. And you could have 2 or 3 of those guys.
Yes.
Could be incredible for your team.
Absolutely.
When we come back, where the Broncos are most likely to go in free agency next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive.
D-Mac, Chad Brown, and Chad, we do have a little breaking news. What do you have over there for Steelers and Antonio Brown? What are we reading?
They're close to a deal. Did not say who. It said 3 teams still interested. That was a tweet 25 minutes ago from a longtime beat writer out there in Pittsburgh, someone who I know and respect. So it sounds as if it's going to happen, but there's no details.
Well, it's not to Buffalo. We know that. That was fun.
Yeah. That was interesting.
That was interesting, to say the least. Well, I mean, they said it was going to get done by today.
Yeah.
We're 6:30 in Pittsburgh, 2 hours ahead of us.
We can spitball about this. I've seen a couple of different reports that Antonio is telling people close to him that he's going to be traded to the Raiders in the next 24 hours.
Makes sense.
Okay, John Gruden.
Well, okay, Mike Mayock.
Yeah.
I mean, really, theoretically, right?
Well, I think they're probably equal power over there. I don't think Mayock has power over Gruden. I think Gruden certainly has a big say-so.
So you're with Derek Carr. You're with a coach who's got a pretty strong hand there. You're about to go to Las Vegas.
And in case you didn't know, Antonio has been lifting on Instagram Live all day today and actually has something to say.
He's lifting all day?
He's been lifting on Instagram Live. He's been working out.
Mr. Big Chest
been doing his thing.
All day?
He said this.
Shout out to everybody tuning in. Don't believe what they say about fake news, you heard? I'm telling you. Stay tuned, though. AB might be somewhere in the less than 24 hours.
Was he throwing himself out there in the third person right there? Did I just hear him go third person?
Did T.O. ever go third person? I know T.O. did the driveway sit-ups.
He was working out, though.
And the driveway curls.
Yeah.
But did he ever go third person?
He did cry.
He did cry.
Did he go third person? T.O. wouldn't like this deal.
T.O. gonna do what T.O. gonna do.
Yeah, I thought he was Mr. Big Chest, too. Why is he calling himself AB? Why didn't he...
You got to stick to the brand.
Why didn't he third person Mr. Big Chest? By the way, I love that nickname. Mr. Big Chest?
Chest Rockwell, the wrestler.
It's a good nickname.
All right, I want to circle back to this attitude thing.
Yeah.
So my 13th season, I'm no longer a starter. I go, you know, want to play special teams, so I get a special teams role. I'm playing on all special teams, the big four. Kickoff, kickoff, return, punt, punt, return.
Four-phaser,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're four-phase guy.
Almost like a fullback.
I mean, you're right there.
At any rate, you know, it takes me a couple of weeks to get
if
things.
If we had 22 Janos, we would be all right.
Go ahead.
Takes me a couple of weeks to get up to speed, but then I get special teams figured out. I played a lot of special teams early in my career.
Mm-hmm.
At any rate, I get the special teams game ball 1 week.
Congratulations.
And it's actually one of the few game balls I have displayed in my home because it, you know, it's one of those pride attitude kind of things.
Year 13.
I'm no longer a starter, but I decided to find a way to make myself.
But you're in the league year 13.
To be useful to a team.
And you just got a game ball.
And I just got a game ball. The special teams game ball of the week.
Pretty cool moment.
I got a big shout out from several coaches.
What team is this for?
I was with the Patriots.
Okay.
I got a big shout out from several coaches. It was talked about on Monday and it was talked about on Wednesday. So it was more than just the special teams game ball. They were trying to make an example of, here's a guy who didn't take his ball and go home.
Disappointment. Hey, you young guys. 13-year guy right here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
And at some point, Dante Scarnecchi stood up and was like, when I heard Chad got the special teams game ball, I don't normally watch special teams. I watch my offensive linemen. So I took the time to watch special teams this week. Mm. And I tell you what, he earned it and went on this 5-minute thing about how it's a indicator of passion and attitude and love for the game and all those other things. And I was like, wow, I'm sitting here and I'm humbled in year 13.
Mm-hmm.
I got this ball, and these people are talking about me in a positive way about my love for the game.
Hmm.
That stuff matters. It counts.
How was that team that year?
We lost to Denver in the playoffs right here.
Ouch.
Yes.
What year?
Tom Brady's worst. It was 2005.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady's worst game of the season.
Right.
Champ Bailey took it all the way back.
Did he?
Until Benjamin Watson caught him.
Did he take it all the way back?
Almost all the way back.
No instant replay back then.
Yeah.
That'd have been interesting, huh?
That game could have turned on that play.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Broncos, you actually lost to a very interesting Broncos team that year. Kind of a Broncos team made of wood glue and matches. It is just barely held together. That was a bad loss for the Patriots.
That was a tough one. That was a tough one. And then the Broncos lost the next week to
Pittsburgh.
And then Pittsburgh loses to Seattle in the Super Bowl. And those are the four teams, Pittsburgh, Seattle, New England, and Denver.
Do you realize that Jerome Bettis is from Detroit and the Super Bowl was played in Detroit?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the bus stops here. He played that thing to a beautiful symphony.
I'm going to guess over the years on the Patriots, there are a lot of guys like you, though.
Oh, certainly. They specialize.
I'm going to guess they thrive on guys like you.
They specialize in guys like me who want to come in and just give me a role
right, so
we can hopefully win a championship.
Right.
I was other places. I made money. I had personal success, personal glory. I made some Pro Bowls.
I think that's what sickened me the most when Pac-Man Jones came here. It was just like, you got to be kidding me. And I understand, like, his teammates kind of liked him, that sort of thing, but the red flags with Pac-Man Jones were just, it was preposterous. And it was so short-sighted because it just screams to everybody else, well, you can do whatever you want, doesn't matter. Because I believe in your whatever. And so just not thinking whatsoever about what this dynamic is going to do to everybody else. Pac-Man Jones.
I didn't like the move just because I knew Pac-Man was going to pull a muscle.
Because
he'd been on this couch.
Right. For football reasons alone, he shouldn't have been here. Forget about everything else.
Right. But I hadn't even thought about the locker room dynamic, the message it sends, all that other stuff that goes along with it. I just thought, this dude's going to pull a hamstring or a quad in about 2 or 3 weeks, and he's going to be on the shelf for the rest of the season.
Yeah, and the Broncos bring in this, like, A.J. Johnson guy who missed 3 years because he was on trial.
Right.
I don't know, man. Give me more guys like you. Give me a guy like Malik Jackson. Give me a guy, I don't know, give me DeMarcus Ware. We knew DeMarcus Ware wasn't at the top of his game when he came here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Give me Brian Dawkins. Same thing, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Dawk didn't have much in the tank.
but he played with passion. He brought energy. He brought leadership. He was the defensive equivalent of a paid man. He raised everyone else's level.
Yeah, and he wasn't the same guy, but he was going to give you everything.
Yeah.
Who are those guys? I mean, when we look in free agency, pick up some of those guys along the way. First of all, they don't cost you hardly anything.
Right.
And they're just such positive guys to be around. Chris Harris is a tricky dude. I'll just keep it real, okay? Like, Chris is a great athlete. Chris likes to talk. Chris has been part of little gossipy cliques there with the Broncos over the years. When they bring in a free agent cornerback, it's got to be a talented guy for sure. But, like, one great thing about Darian Stewart, for example, is, you know, he's just a good, solid guy. And I understand, you know, at some point it's more about talent and contracts. I get it. But let's keep an eye on these free agents, Chad, that the same sort of, and they don't have to be choir boys, but they have to have at least the right sort of character when it at least comes to how they lead.
Football character is what you want.
You really don't want a guy who's going to come in, go to a strip joint, and throw a mug at the waitress. I mean, not really. I mean, that was like TJ Ward's first week here in Denver. Now, he was part of the no-fly zone, and they were fantastic. But, I mean, that was interesting.
Well, off-the-field character, I've always found that it shows up on the field. Your talent may be so great, like an LT, where you're able to, you know, still be successful despite those things showing up on the field. But the truly best players I've been around, their off-the-field character matches their on-the-field character, and it all fits and works, and it all makes sense.
All right, let's bang it out. I know you prepared a look at the other AFC West teams in terms of who they've got going on. We know that free agency and the impact it will have will be significant. An update for everything that's going on. The latest on perhaps Josh Rosen. It's all still to come next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
C-Mac and Chad Brown. I was disappointed by the Avalanche last night. It was just depressing. They just didn't gain any traction. They just didn't do anything. And then Landeskog. Landeskog's hurt.
And that hurts.
And he's out for the year.
Yeah.
Or, sorry, he's out for the regular season. But what are we doing here? We getting to the playoffs?
Not right now.
Yeah. Hosting my Sabres. Well, they fired me too. It's amazing how quickly you lose loyalty for teams once they fire you. They were my Sabres. It was a great year. 1 year. I was a 1 year guy. I was one and done.
You just can't be happy that you once were there?
No, I can't be at this point. When I look back on it, I'm actually absurdly grateful that I had the opportunity.
You have perspective now?
Yeah, it was a situation too where just in my entire career, my plan was to take another 1 year deal with them, work for them 1 year. But during that time, my entire plan was to look for another job. It's kind of like when the girl dumps you before you have a chance to dump her.
Right.
Yeah. Except when they dumped me, I was unemployed and had no money. For 5 months. So, yeah.
Ooh, tough times.
It was really tough. It was unbelievable. In 32 years, well, after college, well, I worked my senior year. So in 29 years of radio, that was the longest I was ever just completely unemployed, 5 months. That was rough. Saw a lot of movies. Because after about 3 weeks, like,
yeah, what?
You know, in 3 weeks I had like the, well, I had CDs. So I bought like a CD burner. I mean, I was wasting so much money. And you had to like overnight things to people. And yeah, I had a resume, like I had a whole package, that sort of thing. And, you know, I'd wake up, I'd work out. Then I'd, you know, okay, here I go. And I'd go into the spare bedroom and, you know, do everything. And then by noon, I was done.
All right, what am I going to watch today?
I mean, I was like, oh, what French film is playing today? Ah, Loisoy me, the bird friends. Let's go see what that's all about. So, no, I love my time there. With it, learned a lot about hockey, that's for sure. So, Sabres, yeah. I don't care about them now, though. Doesn't matter. I don't care about the Bills. I do find it comical with Zabie. Like, how much do you hate the Bills? If this is another, like, blight on the depressing nature of, like, the Bills and Buffalo. Like, Antonio Brown just doesn't want to come there. I mean, that does kind of suck, you know, if you're in an NFL city where that just happens.
It'll be interesting to see when the schedule is released. Wherever Antonio Brown lands, they try to make the matchup with the Bills happen just to make the villain.
I really feel it's because of Buffalo, not because of Josh Allen.
I think it's Josh Allen and Buffalo. I think it's both.
A combination meal?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Our Nikki from the Jabala.
Uh-huh. Well done.
Thanks. Put out there the quarterbacks and coaches and offensive coordinators in the Elway era.
It's a pretty long list.
Then my guy, Ryan Konisberg, put out the second and third round draft picks in the Elway era. I mean, people were just, like, bombing on Elway for, like, some perspective on things. You know, and my retort to Nikki was, well, you obviously hate Elway. Because whenever you point these things out, you know, the common response is, oh, so you didn't like the two Super Bowls and the five AFC West championships and the highest winning percentage after the first 100 games? You didn't like that?
Oh, you saw that text yesterday on the text line?
It's not just that text. I mean, this is the argument.
Okay.
This is the pro-Elway argument. That's what they have. And like I've said, to me, Chad, you know, John Elway kind of is like the Tim Tebow of managers.
Bruce. You know what the NFL stands for?
What
have you done for me lately, league?
And when I compare him to the Tim Tebow of management, what that means is if you want to say he's great and a winner, there's plenty of evidence to prove that.
True.
If you want to say Tebow just had a way to win and just wouldn't give up, there's evidence. There's a winning record as a starting quarterback that has a playoff win. Tim Tebow has that, Chad.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to say he is awful, he can't throw the ball, he's a terrible quarterback, well, there's plenty of evidence of that. That's obvious as well with Tim Tebow. And if you want to say John Elway has put together the most miserable roster in Broncos history since the 60s. There's and couldn't draft quarterbacks and has had way too much turnover and has been miserable in the draft. Well, there's plenty of evidence of that too. I think John Elway overall is he's kind of right there. It's kind of teetering right there in the middle.
It's a precipice. He's at an interesting point where even I think the folks who want to reflexively defend Elway, Super Bowls and all that, the facts are the facts. And the list from Nikki and then the list from Ryan is just a list. And while it may upset you, it's still true. And both can be true.
Yeah.
There were two Super Bowls. And there was a Peyton Manning era. But now we're at a different point. And at some point, do you continue along this slide or do you right the ship? So the precipice is here right now. Draft last year, some good finds, some good character guys. Even a guy undrafted comes out and makes great plays and is almost a star of the NFL season from a rookie's perspective. But you can't deny 5-11, 6-10.
No.
It's undeniable.
And the quarterback thing is... it's tricky. So listening to the boys in the morning, Beep Beep and Stink, and they're talking about kind of the same thing about like Flacco, for example. And I know it was a good conversation for sure that really Elway wants Flacco to be his new Peyton Manning, that really he wants Flacco to be successful for the next 3 years. the length of John's contract and probably a typical type of overall time frame in football period.
I get it from that perspective, but the Peyton Manning thing was organizationally all across the board. It was free agents. It was a lot of different things. People wanted to coach here because of that. People wanted to fly up as free agents because he was here.
You don't think people want to come here because of Joe Flacco?
No, they don't.
Eric Weddle has had good things to say.
I'm sure he does. As his former teammate. Literally, they were just together 2 months ago.
All right, let me ask a question. Guys, a little research here. Ready, fellas? But put everybody to the test. Which offensive players, running backs or receivers? Or tight ends, I suppose. But that, you know, let's just stay with, guys, running backs or receivers who are now free agents who played with Joe Flacco in the past 2 years. Who are they? Let's look that up. This year, they're free agents and they played with Flacco in the past 2 years. Meaning, like, who wants to be here? I mean, who might make sense on this, Chad?
You don't get DeMarcus Ware without Peyton Manning.
All right. So who's there?
Is Joe Flacco going to bring somebody with
him
like
that? Well, maybe if they were productive with Joe Flacco. If they played with Joe Flacco in the past 2 years.
Right off the top, Michael Crabtree is a name I think of.
Crabtree is a free agent. Okay? I'm writing his name down. Who else? Anybody else? We'll dig into it. We'll dig into it. We'll give you guys a little time to look that up. I'm just talking about receivers and running backs right now. And really, maybe we just zero in on receivers because in the running back category, we're probably set. But there's strong indications that the Broncos will try to find a receiver in free agency. And I don't think it's going to be Brendan Langley. By the way, that was a fun conversation. I was listening to Zach in Orlando earlier today, Chad. Brendan Langley, as he admitted, he didn't like moving backwards.
That one hurt my brain. That one hurt my brain.
You break that one down for us.
I can't. Now, you know, occasionally there's a late round defensive lineman who just doesn't show the athleticism and the explosion need to be a defensive lineman, and they try him at guard. That happens almost every team I've been on at some point. But drafted third-round DB to wide receiver, I've never heard of that before. I have never heard of that before.
What was Julian Edelman when he was
He was a quarterback.
He wasn't drafted to be a quarterback with the Patriots, was he?
No, he was a slot guy. Well, they knew he was football player.
He did play cornerback.
Well, that's what they do with the Patriots. They take guys with that skill set. Troy Brown played wide receiver, but he also played cornerback for them. Antoine Randall and Hines Ward were both college quarterbacks played NFL wide receiver.
I just had to laugh. Well, first of all, who wants to go backwards? Who wants to play a sport where you're going backwards all the time? Nobody likes going backwards.
Well, there's a lot of DBs who make plenty of money who would be happy
it's
to
hard
go backwards.
Oh, because it's hard to do.
Right.
I mean, it's way harder to play running and going backwards than forwards.
True.
Offensive linemen are always going backwards.
And they're giants. A giant man going backwards. That's hard to do.
Hard to do. Just for fun, when you get home today, or perhaps pull over to the side of the road right now, just go backwards as fast as you can for about 10 yards.
See how that feels.
See how that goes for you.
And somehow maintain your balance when there's another 300-pound man pushing against you.
Yeah, yeah. But do it as fast as you can.
Yeah.
I think there might be a couple spots off I-25 that might 470, maybe in the median. I don't know.
And maybe replicate a 2-minute drive where you're going to do 10 of those in about a minute and 15 seconds.
Yeah, like playing defense in the NHL. You're going backwards. Your entire life is about skating backwards. It's hard to do. So when Brendan Langley says, I don't really like going backwards. Nobody likes going backwards.
Got a couple names for you.
Well, hang on to those names. All right, hang on to them. Good. Because these may be the guys. These may be the guys, and we haven't really talked about them. They may be the guys. But first, Stink. Stink is fired up about tonight's Nuggets game.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Several months ago, the Nuggets played the Warriors here in town. And Mike and a bunch of other people were like, they're ready to compete. They're ready to go. This could be a close game. They could come away with a victory. And I was like, whoa, 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 whoa. Pump your brakes. 30-plus point victory. for that Warrior team. Charles Barkley just talked about it. You don't have to win this game, but you better show up and show the Warriors that if we get to the Western Conference Finals, this ain't going to be a rollover. This is one of those guts, those smash mouth, those throwing elbows, sharpen up those elbows. Let's go get this thing done. Let's match you wit for wit in your home court. Two games left against the Warriors, both at Golden State. This is a big game for the Nuggets. You don't have to win it, but you have to show up. You can't have one of those blowout games. And trust me on this, the Warriors are going to be ready to try to show you that they're still big brother. You got to close that gap tonight when you get your teddies on the court.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans, Monday morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.